ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, chapter number 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text number 29. Right. Ascharya vat paschati kaschit enam. So please repeat. Dehi nityam avadya ayam dehe sarvasya bharata tasmat sarvani bhutani na tvam shochitum arhasi dehi nityam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arhasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arhasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arhasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehi sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arhasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehi sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arhasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arhasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang shochitum arasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang shochitum arasi Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arasi Anybody wants to try? Please. Dehi nijam avadyoyam Dehe sarvasya bharata Tasmat sarvani bhutani Natvang sochitum arasi Dehi The owner of the material body Nityam, eternally. Avadyaha, cannot be killed. Ayam, this soul. Dehe, in the body. Sarvasha, of everyone. Bharata, our descendant of Bharat. Tasmat, therefore. Sarvani, all. Bhutani, living entities that are born. Na, never. Tvam, you. Shochitum, to lament. Arhasi, deserve. Translation. O descendant of Bharat, he who dwells in the body can never be slain. Therefore, you need not grieve for any living being. Purport. The Lord now concludes the chapter of instruction on the immutable spirit soul. In describing the immortal soul in various ways, Lord Krishna establishes that the soul is immortal and the body is temporary. Therefore, Arjuna as a Kshatriya should not abandon his duty out of fear that his grandfather and teacher, Bhishma and Drona, will die in the battle. On the authority of Sri Krishna, one has to believe that there is a soul different from the material body, not that there is no such thing as soul, or that living symptoms develop at a certain stage of material maturity resulting from the interaction of chemicals. Though the soul is immortal, violence is not encouraged, but at the time of war, it is not discouraged when there is actual need for it. That need must be justified in terms of the sanction of the Lord and not capriciously. Om agyana timrandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena bhutale svayang rupa kadamayang dadati svapadantikang Pandehang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalang Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvetang Savadutang Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devang Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Dehi Nityang Avatjoyang Dehe Savashabharata Tasmat Sarvani Bhutani Natvang Sochitum Arasi Natvang sochitu arasi tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam sochitum arasi. You should not grieve for any living being. This is all kind of, at least for me personally, kind of difficult to understand. Although on the same time it's very simple. It starts in the beginning of this chapter. Here in text 16, Krishna says, Nasato vijate bhavo, nabhavo vijate sataha, ubayor api dristonjas, tvanayos tatva darshibihi. The tatva darshibihi, we'll learn more about them in the fourth chapter, the seers of the truth, the tatva darshis. So the tatva darshis, They have concluded antaha drishta antaha. This is from the second chapter, text 16. Antaha means like end. Like we have our acharya Bhakti Siddhanta is the anta, the the conclusion of all the perfection of bhakti, bhakti siddhanta. It's the perfect conclusion on bhakti that he gave. So nasato, sat, or here actually asat. Asat means non-eternal. Sat means eternal. And asat means non-eternal. And bhava means becoming. Here translated as endurance. So nasato vichate bhava. Of the non-existent, there is no endurance. And then nabhava vijate sataha. Of the sat, it is always changing, it is always abhav. Na abhav, it is not changing. It's kind of mathematical Sanskrit. Bhav, abhav, like that. So this is actually the beginning of knowledge. I don't know if you have heard about Plato, but he was speaking like this, that you have the eternal, that is the world of being, which is the real world, and then you have the temporary world, the world of non-being. This is the world where we live in. So he made a distinction like that. So the beginning of truth, or truth actually, it starts with this so-called discrimination. What is real? What is sat? What is really existent? And what is asat? What is not real? What is non-existent? This is the beginning of knowledge. And the Tattva Darshi, he can see this is real and this is not real. Or as we say in Krishna consciousness, this is Maya. Maya means which is not. And this is Krishna, Krishna conscious. Ultimately, of course, everything is Krishna or Krishna's energy, but because of our conditioning, we think we act outside of Krishna, or we try to act outside of Krishna, and that is what we call Maya. And you have to be very careful. Therefore, ultimately, you need a spiritual master to tell you what is Maya, what is not Maya. I remember one friend of mine, he had this car accident. And he said something, I don't know exactly, but he had some lag in the plaster. And I don't know how he came to the conclusion, but he said to one Iskon Guru, it was all Krishna's arrangement. And then he said, or Maya's. It's sometimes difficult to see. Sometimes all these they very quickly say it's Krishna's arrangement. But it's not so easy to see if it's Krishna's arrangement or Maya. So, but the Tattva Darshi, he can see. And it needs to be checked. We say Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. You check with Guru, is this should I do this? Is this Krishna conscious or should I not do this? Is this something else? Is it Maya? Guru, Sadhu, and the Sadhus can ask different Sadhus. We can look in the Shastra, Mahajano, Yena Katasa Panta. We can see. There's 12 Mahajans, like Bhishma. We hear about him. He's one of the Mahajans. Prahlad Maharaj is the best example of the Mahajans. Who else is there? Sukadev Goswami. Sita's father. Sitaram. Janaka. Very good. Lord Shiva. He's another Mahajan. I think Dharmaraj and Bali Maharaj also, no? Bali Maharaj and Yamaraj or Dharmaraj. And then of course Narada Muni and Lord Brahma. And then also Brahma's son. I forgot which Manu, but one of the Manus. He's also Mahajan. So there's 12 like that. And we can look at their example, how they lived. And then we can also take advice from that and from like other sadhus. And then from Shastra. So all these, there's like three tracks. Usually a train is on two tracks, but we have three tracks. So then you can always check, they should always be in line. Sometimes people would ask Prabhupada about Christianity or about the Quran or like Muslims. And then Prabhupada said that this is science. It's nothing to do with Hindu or Christian or, you know, we're talking about what is true, what is real, what is eternal, and what is not true, what is temporary. So this is knowledge. And what the Bible says, generally, I mean, we trust on Shastra, but Bible, in one sense, is also a holy scripture. And the general message of the Bible is none different from the Quran or from Bhagavad Gita. But you will find that things that are not in the Bible are in Bhagavad Gita. And generally, everything that is in the Bible is generally covered by Bhagavad Gita. It's like, actually, where the Bible kind of ends, which is with Jesus is, well, that is like the, what is it, the New Testament, no? Where Jesus is resurrected, like that. That is where Bhagavad Gita starts. Because Bhagavad Gita immediately starts to speak that, Arjuna, you're not the body, you're eternal soul. And that is what Krishna has been explaining. Since this verse 16, he's explaining about this fact that we are not the soul. The main verse is explaining that. Is the main verse is 2:13, even before this, most important verse, what I just read, 16, is 13, Dehinasmin yata dehe kaumaram jauvanam jara tata dehatara praptir, that the embodied soul, Dehinaha, he goes from kaumaram, from kid, to jauvanam, to youth, to jara, to old age. So this is the example that Krishna gives. You're already reincarnating. The body is completely changing. I have different teeth, different voice, different hairs. You know, everything different. Complete different body. But the person that was there when I was 4 is the same person. Maybe changed a little bit. But same person. And when I get older, by Krishna's grace, then another body. Old body, gray hair, no more teeth. Perhaps, or whatever. So that is the example Krishna gives. And he gives another example. See if I can find it for you. Is that it is like clothes. And that is 22. Yes, thank you. Vashangsi jirnani yathavya navani grinanti naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anjani samyati navani dehi. Navani means new, right? New garments. Navani, dehi. So as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So like the clothes are fitting my body, so similarly the gross body is fitting the subtle body. And the subtle body ultimately is a manifestation of the consciousness of the soul. So, and that consciousness that needs to change. This is Prabhupada sometimes calls it a disease. This whole body is like a disease. But the Maya, we just talked about it a little bit, this is called, the Maya is actually, in one sense, we call it that which is not, but at the same time, it's this dravya, this energy, material energy. And in one sense, it's real, it's temporary, and therefore we call it not real. Because I tried to explain with Plato, that what he called real was what was not changing. And what he called unreal, which was what was changing. This is all the time changing. So it's manifesting and it's unmanifesting. This is not really real because you can't really grasp it. The example is given of a Fata Morgana. You go in the desert and you see this Fata Morgana. It's like a, how do you call it, oasis. But you go there and it's a reflection from an oasis somewhere else, and because of the heat it gets reflected, and you go there and you think you're there, and then you go further down the desert. This is how people die, actually. But the oasis, actually, it's there, but it's somewhere else. The Fata Morgana, it's an illusion because it's temporary. It's there, and then suddenly you go there and then it's gone. So the material world is like that. You want to grasp it, like you have the beautiful wife and beautiful children, and before you know it, you're at the end of your life. Or even other worse things we don't even want to discuss. But it's temporary, that this is the problem, and therefore you cannot really enjoy it. So to really enjoy, you have to go to the eternal world, which is outside of this universe. Anyway, the point is that it is the soul is eternal, and the soul emanates this consciousness, and that has some other, we've fallen from this spiritual world, and this consciousness is being kind of, I don't know exactly how to explain it, It's kind of, because if I would really know, then I wouldn't be here probably. It's kind of confused, the consciousness. Although the soul can't really be touched or burned, but the consciousness that emanates, kind of, it somehow or other, it identifies with this body. We think we are this body. Like Jesus, he was crucified, and it seemed that he didn't care so much about it, because he wasn't identifying with the body. We see it also with Haridas Thakur. He was caned in how many? 21 marketplaces, and he wasn't bothered by it. Of course, later we learned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was getting all his beatings, but the point is that a pure devotee is generally not identifying with his body, because he knows I'm not his body. Even Socrates, he was stirring up the youth, because he was telling them about this knowledge, more or less, and then they saw him as a revolutionary, so they told him, you have to take poison. And he said, yes, I'll take the hemlock, this poison, because he didn't identify with the body. For him it wasn't a big deal. So, you know, if we're very realized, then we can come on that level. And here Arjuna is actually acting like he's confused. In fact, he's not confused, but for our benefit, he's acting like he's confused, like he is identifying with his body. Oh, you know, my family, I shouldn't fight. I should just, you know, leave, or you know, just let myself be killed, like that. And then Krishna, he's explaining this, that, you know, like I explained, you're already incarnating, you can't really die, your enemies can't really die, and then he gives this example of these clothes. And here, in this chapter, in this verse of today, it is concluded, then Krishna goes on. He says, considering your specific duty as a fighter, as a kshatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and that there is no need for hesitation. Yeah, Prabhupada ends the purport with that, so we'll speak a little bit more on that, because it's very important, because it's many times misunderstood, and it's not so easy to understand it. So Prabhupada explains, the Lord now concludes the chapter of instruction on the immutable spirit soul. Immutable means that you cannot divide it. In describing the immortal soul in various ways, Lord Krishna establishes that the soul is immortal and the body is temporary. Therefore, Arjuna as a kshatriya should not abandon his duty out of fear that his grandfather and teacher, Bhishma and Drona, will die in the battle. So it's a whole story, I won't get into it, but his grandfather and his teacher were standing on the other side, and he had to fight against them. On the authority of Sri Krishna, one has to believe that there is a soul different from the material body, not that there is no such thing as a soul, or that living symptoms develop at a certain stage of material maturity resulting from the interaction of chemicals. Yeah, so Karuna Mahesi sometimes is asking, that do you believe that Krishna is God? And we have many Vedic evidence to prove that Krishna is God. One, for instance, Ishvara Parama Krishna. This is Lord Brahma. He's saying that Krishna is the Param Ishvara. And there's so many other ones. The point is that, at least theoretically, we should accept Krishna as the authority, and therefore we should accept his words, that he says that the soul is eternal. If we at least in the beginning theoretically accept that, then gradually we start to see it. It's called Jnana Chakshu. You can see through the eyes of knowledge. And then you start to recognize it, that the soul is in the heart and it's emanating the consciousness throughout the whole body. And not, and this is what the scientists say, and this is how they justify this abortion, that they say that life is made of chemicals, and the consciousness enters in later. At a certain, you know, there's a cutoff point, they say. After so many months, then it becomes illegal abortion. And then it's not allowed, according to the law. But according to their kind of philosophy, they say before that, there is no real consciousness, so you're allowed to kill it. But we know from the Vedas that the soul has already entered the body. As soon as something grows, means the soul is there. Nothing can grow just by itself. If it grows, that means that the soul must be there. Or like you have a computer program, then there must be a controller behind it. But Krishna is so expert, he made this material world in such a way that it seems that everything is going on automatically. But of course it's not. Everything is going on a specific order. Though the soul is immortal, violence is not encouraged. Yeah, so this is actually the whole kind of confusion, at least for me personally. It is not that Krishna is encouraging violence, that he says, yeah, the soul is eternal, so you can kill. It's just that he's saying that you should not identify with your body, and you should just do your duty. Arjuna was acting out of sentiment. This is my Guru Maharaj, my teacher, this is my grandfather. I shouldn't kill them, it's not good. But Krishna is saying, you don't really kill them, and you should just do what is right. You shouldn't be sentimental. You're just attached to the body. His brother was supposed to rule the kingdom. His brother was a very righteous person. He never told any lies. He was the most honest person, perhaps ever. And he was the righteous king, and his nephew, Duryodhan, was kind of an evil person, and he was illegally took the kingdom, and they tried everything to persuade him to give them a piece of land, and nothing could persuade him, so the war was ultimately inevitable. And here the last sentence, this is very important, that need to fight a war must be justified in terms of the sanction of the Lord and not capriciously. So capriciously means something like, you know, haphazardly, just, you know, on a whim, just, it should be confirmed by Krishna or the representative of Krishna. Now, this is, of course, a little bit of a controversial point, but the way Prabhupada, as far as my understanding goes, the way Prabhupada instigated this movement was that he formed a GBC, and they can be removed, the GBC, and it also has happened in the past. We in general we follow their advice, and their devotees who have been chanting and following certain devotional principles for many, many years, and therefore they have attained a certain spiritual level, and also most of them are also personally trained by Srila Prabhupada. So this is called the parampara. So like that. And like I said in the beginning, guru, sadhu, shastra. So you can always check the advice that the sadhu gives or the GBC. Is it in line with guru, with what Prabhupada says, and with what is in the shastra? So like that you can see. But generally, we Vaishnava will always try to avoid that. That is not so much described in this Bhagavad Gita. It is a little bit described in the purports, but they tried every single thing they could to stop the war. So after, if there's some point where like ambassadors, they talk and they talk, and I forgot the exact word. There's a diplomacy. You see, there is a need for diplomacy, but there is an end on diplomacy also. You see, there is a stage where you just have to say, okay, we have to fight. But that, Prabhupada says here, it is decided by the sanction of the Lord. So you have to be very careful that it's actually sanctioned by Krishna. But the whole idea is that Krishna, here you can see, he created actually this whole extreme situation in order for us to accept this knowledge. Because the main thing that you should take away from this class is not so much the political stuff, but more the fact that we are not this body, and that we should do our duty. And what is our duty as a human being is, I explained it a little bit in the beginning of the class, is to go to the spiritual world, is to go to the world where everything is eternal. In other words, to become Krishna conscious. Dogs, Prabhupada says, cannot become Krishna conscious. The greatest danger for human life is to get a dog body. So we should be very careful not to get into a dog-like consciousness. A few more minutes, I'll give you, share a little realization, is that because we're talking about fighting and about consciousness, we should be very careful not to fight amongst ourselves. This is very important, because we're actually dealing with devotees here in this temple, and so devotees should actually never fight. Prabhupada used to say that my disciples, they have this disease, they like to fight. Like, especially in Europe, like, we're from Europe, most of us are from Europe, there's such a history of war. We were talking with the Prashan, and so many wars have been fought on this country. Like in America, not so many wars were there. I mean, the Indians, they fought some wars, but not very significant. But in Europe, so many wars. We don't even know how many wars. Even before, 5,000 years before, I'm sure there were so many unlimited wars. As Vaishnavas, we should really not fight amongst each other. If you want to fight, or you have this fighting tendency like myself, then it should go specifically to the scientists. If you want to engage your fighting spirit, then you should try to defeat the scientists. They have the, like I explained, this theory is really ridiculous. There was this picture I saw of this baby, and it was a few weeks old, and it grabbed this doctor's hand. He performed some operation on this fetus, and he cut open the mother, and he did some operation. But the fetus grabbed his hand, and everybody was amazed, because they couldn't believe that such a immature baby or fetus was already that conscious. And the doctor said it was like the most spiritual experience he ever had, and it almost made him cry, and he was very touched by the whole experience. So this whole theory, it's so ridiculous that, you know, you have something that grows and you can see the consciousness, the mother can perceive the consciousness, even the father sometimes can perceive, and that they say, no, this is not yet living, and it's only living after 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever. I'm not so knowledgeable on these things. So this is really ridiculous, and it's a very violent theory, because like I said, the conclusion is that you can kill it. So, but of course there also we shouldn't, the truth should be brought in a palatable way, not that we start screaming like cats and dogs. But, if we want to have some intense discussion, then we should do it with the scientists. And of course we have to qualify ourselves, but as far as I'm concerned, it preferably, if you're qualified, should be done in public. You know? Yeah, should be done on television or somewhere, should challenge them, you know? That is a ridiculous theory, you know, life comes from matter. Where is the example that any life comes from matter? There is no such example anywhere. Anyway, so that the point is that, my last point was that we should become Krishna conscious, and while we're trying to become Krishna conscious, we should try to respect each other. One thing I can share with you, that Pranam Maharaj, actually, I say you shouldn't say his name, but maybe in this case I can mention his name. He said that Prabhupada told him that you shouldn't, let me get this right, you shouldn't try to, I forgot the exact wording, you shouldn't teach your godbrother's lessons, I think that was it. You shouldn't try to teach your godbrother's lessons. We have to be very careful, we're dealing with godbrothers. Prabhupada was dealing with disciples, besides that Prabhupada was a pure devotee, was self-realized. But we should be very careful in dealing with each other. So you just have to wait till you get a little bit older. I'm talking to myself now. I mean, I'm talking to you, but I should be talking to myself. I have to wait till I'm a little bit older, then I can instruct like younger people, you know. But we should be careful trying to instruct each other. Well, of course, we've discussed this, me and Mark. Some things are obvious. If you see somebody going to the bathroom with a bead bag, you can tell him humbly. But we should be careful. Should be very careful. Okay, I think I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening so attentively. Sorry if I talked too long. If there is any question or comments, please. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that is a good question. It's kind of a controversial question also. In the beginning I said this prayer, Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha. Gurun means plural. Offer my respectful obeisance unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. So you have, ultimately Prabhupada says spiritual master is the principal. Because whatever the guru says is one. But we discussed this yesterday a little bit, that you everywhere you go, you need a teacher. You want to be a medic, you need to go and learn from a doctor. You want to be a lawyer, you need to learn from a lawyer. Any job, you need a teacher. So similarly, with Krishna consciousness, ultimately the system is from Krishna. So similarly with Krishna consciousness, you also need a teacher. So Prabhupada is there, he's a teacher. But then you also need a teacher, like I said in the beginning, who tells you, this is Maya, and this is not Maya. And other things also, like you should get married, or you should not get married. Or actually, this is an order you can refuse, I heard. It's in Shastra. That's the only order you can refuse. You say, no, I'm not going to get married. But that you have to be careful with that. I'm a brahmachari, I'm not married. I'm a little bit fanatical on this point, please excuse me. Or, you know, are you a kshatriya or a vaishya, like that? The guru generally can see these things. So, like that. And there's other more, Prabhupada explains that the Vaishnava, he doesn't do anything without consulting other Vaishnava, specifically your generally we call it initiating spiritual master. Although, I don't want to put too much emphasis on this word, because ultimately initiation is a formality. But at the same time, you know, that person who formally initiates you should be, as Jayadvaita Maharaj says, worshipped as good as God. Sakshat darit venasa master shastri. That's the culture. Otherwise there's different reasons, but one practical reason is the transference of knowledge. It won't be very palatable. Like in a university, you pay some money and you ask humble questions. So similarly, when you accept a guru, then you do the same. You do service, money. This is with money, for money you have to work. You do service and you ask humble questions. So the answer is yes, you need a guru. Well, ultimately, we, like I explained in the beginning, we have a GBC. So if it's really like that, then you should present it in a humble way. First to, I mean, this would be my personal advice, first to close God brothers of your guru, friends, so to speak. And then in the ultimate case, you can present it to the GBC as a concern in a private letter. Yeah, but you have to be careful. But it's a valid question, because in the past sometimes problems have come, and but that generally that should not be the mood. That could be the mood in the beginning, when you try to accept the spiritual master, you can be a little bit critical. But once you've accepted him, then you should not be too critical, and you should just have, you know, some faith in the GBC that if he does something wrong, that the GBC will ultimately correct it. But sometimes you might be convinced that, well, the GBC might not know about it, and you might present it to them. But I would first, you know, either discuss it with him personally or with his close friends. Yeah, you could present it to his guru, of course. Yeah. Yeah. But also there I would first discuss it with, like, for instance, Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu. You see, because he knows Kadamba Kanmaj very well. So or even Bhakta Rik. You see? You can first present it to your direct authority, and then gradually you can go up, instead of immediately making a whole big thing out of it. Because it might be some misunderstanding on your part, and then Bhakta Rik might clear it up like that, and it's finished. That's usually my understanding. That is difficult for me personally also, but we have to serve the direct authority. But in my case, it's Vishnumurti Prabhu. And in Bhakta Mark's case, it's more or less Jagannandan Swami, or even lower his teachers. You know, his teachers, he's got different courses. Well, now it's me, I'm giving the class, yeah. Yeah, we should respect the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, definitely. But the teachers in the class should be respected. Otherwise, how can he or she teach? So then if you respect them, then automatically Yadananda Maharaj will be very pleased, and then automatically your Guru Maharaj will be very pleased. Like that. It's not rocket science. It works everywhere like that. Everywhere. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But the idea is that, like in any company, you have to serve your direct boss. It's no use going over his head, because that's what I'm trying to explain to you, that you should be careful in going over people's heads. You know, don't do that too quickly. Try to sort it out first with the person in question. You see, this is the disease. It's just difficult for us to be submissive. But you have to have some faith in Srila Prabhupada, in this movement, and in Krishna. I mean, look at Prahlad Maharaj. I gave this example in the class. I don't want you to think that other devotees are Aranyakashipu. But you should sometimes try to act like Prahlad Maharaj. Because it's actually, generally, it's due to our false ego. And just try to tolerate it. You know? And then hope that Krishna will protect you somehow or other. And another last thing I can share with you is that you don't have to do that. But if you want to chant Hare Krishna, then you must do it. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. If you want to keep chanting Trinat Api Sunichana, you must be humble. Like he says, it's difficult to be submissive. Oh. So. So Bhakta Mark is saying, 1927 in the first canto, that if you tolerate, then tolerance, then you can diminish your material desires automatically. And it's true, actually. I can tell you from my own experience, I'm not proud of it, but when I get angry sometimes, then material desires flare up. So I have no experience with the other, not so much at least. But I have a lot of experience with becoming angry and then seeing the material desires increase. So that is the proof of his statement. Yeah, it correlates. I mean, ultimately anger comes from lust, but it's like a fire. So when the anger becomes bigger, then automatically the lust also. It's illogical, no? Now that I think about it.
you.
Dr. Mark is explaining that anger is there's a, where is that pastime in Krishna book? Mahabharata, right, because I didn't remember it. So in Mahabharata there is a pastime that Balaram is fighting one demon. What's his name? Anyway, Dhanar demon. No, we don't know his name. But the point is that this demon represents anger, like Putana represents the false guru, and some of the demons represent different, or all of the demons I think represent different anarthas. Or different things. So this demon, the more Balaram fought it, the bigger it got, and that demon represented anger. And of course, then he couldn't defeat it because Balaram got more angry. And because anger is also in God. And then Krishna, he just started laughing at the demon, and then he became smaller and smaller and smaller, and then he put it in his pocket. So I think we can end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita sades ki jai. Nita go premanande. Hari Hari Bol. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Okay, so now we have bhajans until darshan. Hare Krishna. Instructor. Huh? Where is the instructor?